And you, with the bag, come here. 42nd Street P. What do you got, man? That cheap porn? This multi-hour crap? Brother, you.
Super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Good evening, and tonight is going to be a very somber type show, not my usual ranting and raving and going off, because last Friday, the world of professional wrestling lost a legendary performer, and the rest of the world lost a very good person. Luna Vachon was only 48 years old when she left us, and tonight this show is a tribute to her life and her career. And I have a very special co-host I brought in for this occasion. She's no stranger to this show, and she's no stranger to professional wrestling. Everybody welcome Primetime Amy Lee.
What's up, Pete?
It's just a shame what happened, and I'm just glad I got a hold of you so you can, you were basically, her last tag team partner, if I remember right.
Yeah, and I found out information after she had passed that Sean the Mick had told me. And he actually wrote it in a blog, which on Declaration of Independent Wrestling. It's absolutely a beautiful blog that he wrote about, his friendship and how he met her and things. And he actually said that the first time she had came in, she had watched me cut a promo. And she looked and she ran over to me. And I think you were there, Pete. And she dropped to her knees and bowed to me and said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And I'm looking. I'm like, part of my life, but I'm like, holy fuck, this is Luna Vachon. This is in my opinion, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some tough girls, like Sherry Martel is like number two, Peggy Lee Leather's number three, and then Debbie Combs, but Luna Vachon was the toughest woman in professional wrestling. She was tougher than Moolah, okay? I mean, she fought like a dude, she thought like a dude, and she didn't give a shit. She just kicked your ass, man, woman, or child. You deserved it, she whooped on you. And, she was the only woman ever in wrestling that ever intimidated me, because she was actually crazy. And, but it's so funny because, she was the kind of lady that inside the ring, she was willing to put anybody over. She was willing to make you look good. And she enjoyed, you always knew she enjoyed what she did. And she had fun and she respected what, professional wrestling. But outside, she was just a sweetheart. I mean, she's a little crazy and a little unique, but hey, what the hell, we all are. But, when I found out that she had requested, she came to Mick and said, why don't you put Amy and I together? I want to tag with her. I like her look. I like her persona. She reminds me of me. And to me, that's not even a compliment. That's an honor, for somebody of that caliber who went over to Japan and beat up the entire women's locker room just to prove that American women could wrestle and were tougher than the Japanese women. that's unbelievable. She had many matches over in Japan with Medusa, where she put Medusa over a lot, and she worked with Bull Nakano, and she had some ass-kicking matches with Bull Nakano. And Bull Nakano always respected her because she always said she was like a little stick of dynamite. She was so little, but yet she was so powerful and big, inside the ring. But last Friday, I received a phone call, and they had told me that, the cops were at her house, and, Luna's mom had found her, and she had passed. And, when you hear something like that, you're like, okay, how true is it? But I actually have received the information, I'm going to say like around 9:15, 9:30 that morning from her neighbor across the street, who happened to be the brother of a friend of mine in Wrestling Crazy, Ivan, his best friend's oldest brother. And he knew I was friends with Luna, so he called right away and said, they found her dead and all. And I didn't want to tell anyone about it because, God forbid it's not, God forbid it was untrue, but the double-edged sword is I wish it was untrue.
Yeah, and
I actually was at a document production with outside counsel when I got the call, and I was just like totally in shock, and I had to like totally regroup. So I had called Gangrel because him and Luna were together since he was like 17 years old, and they were married, and she helped raise his children and things. And so I asked him, and he knew nothing of it. And he's like, keep me posted, keep me posted. So once it was confirmed with the police officers, you know, because the neighbor had spoken to Luna's sons and stuff, they called me back and they said it's absolutely true. Now, I had let people know that, you know, like yourself, I had texted to tell you, and, you know, that Luna was found dead. And then, you know, once it was fully confirmed, I allowed everyone, you know, I told everyone it was confirmed, because everybody's calling everybody saying, is it true, is it true, is it true? And it's a horrible thing, because I only told a handful of people, and they told a handful, and so on and so on and so on. So it became like this big brick wall. And, you know, when it was confirmed, this big brick wall just come crashing down, and the wrestling community just went in total grieve mode. And, I mean, it's shocking, because Shawn Mick actually was talking to her. I spoke to her a week before her passing, and we had talked about her coming up here and actually just hanging out and stuff, because she said, oh, I need a break, you know, and she loved her grandbabies. She would talk about her grandbabies and everything. We talked about her son being on, you know, the that cooking show on the Food Channel and stuff. And, you know, we were just talking about everyday life. And I said to her, you know, come on up here. You know, it'll be great. We'll tag, you know, the whole nine yards. Mick really wants you back. Come on, Luna, you know, show him, you know, that you, you know, you're 40-some years old and you're a grandmother, but you still can fuck some bitches up. And, you know, she, like, laughed and stuff. And she said, well, you know, they really don't want people like me anymore. I said, listen, I'm a dinosaur. I said, I'm a bigger ass than you. I said, and, you know, I nowhere near as accomplished what you do. And I said, come on, let's just do it. Let's just roll with it. So she agreed to it and everything. And then Mick, he also had feelers out for, like, Eric Sims to talk to her. And Eric Sims said she wasn't very stable. Well, when I talked to her, she sounded perfectly fine. There was no problem with her. So I was a little upset by that, but then again, I wasn't on the other side of the phone listening in on a conversation, so I don't know. I'm just going from my experience with her. And I know she was always battling depression, because back when she was fired in 2000, one night I was training a bunch of students down when PWU had the wrestling academy, and they turn around, and she and I had just tagged and all, and I was telling her about these guys, and she was calling me up, and, you know, she would talk to me and say, hey, make sure you teach them this tonight, and she was giving me, like, pointers and training these guys and stuff, and she actually would sit there, like, on the speakerphone and say, hey, you fucking douchebags, you know what Amy Lee says, or I'll fuck you up, and listen to what she says, and do this and do that, you know, so she was giving the guys, like, insights on, you know, and she's, like, teaching class on a fucking speakerphone. It's priceless. And, but, you know, afterwards I had thanked her and everything, and she had said to me, you know, she says, I want to do one more big run, you know, before I, like, really retire. I just want to do one more big run. I want to do it with you. I think we could do great and all. She was going over to Europe and invited me to come. Unfortunately, at the time, I was working at a law firm, and there was no way I could get off at that time, because we had an ongoing million-dollar litigation, and I explained it to her, and she understood. She was really cool with it and everything, and she's like, yeah, you got to feed your fucking family and all, and it was weird, because she was already over there for about 3 weeks. I get laid off from the firm because of the economy and stuff, and then she, you know, I call her up, I'm like, hey, I got laid off, you know, you still need me? She's like, fuck, I'm on my way. She's on her way back now, and I was like, eh, day late and a dollar short. So we talked about we were going to do some other stuff together and all, and I know she had some issues, like, you know, with her grandbaby just being born and her son and, you know, just her mom not feeling well and work, and, I mean, she was very depressed, because she told me one time on the phone, she's like, you know, she says, you know what hurts me the most? I'm like, what? She goes, I'm not pretty. I went, what? She says, I'm not pretty. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I said, you keep yourself in phenomenal shape. You look great. I said, you look like you. You have not changed. Father Time has stopped the clock for you. She goes, no. She said, I was backstage one time at WWE. When they let me go, Vince walked up to me and said, listen, you're a great wrestler. I love your work and all, but you're not pretty enough to be on TV. You're not a diva. You have to go. And she said it really, really, like, ripped her soul apart.
That
and
sucks.
I said, are you kidding me? She said, no. I said, you imagine what you say about my fat ass? And she kind of, like, just chuckled. But she says, just for somebody to tell you you're not pretty, and she really took that to heart. I said, Luna, this is a guy here who had issues with fucking young boys in his ring crew and stuff. Who cares what he fucking thinks? Because they can't take away all your accomplishments, okay? They can't take away your badass reputation. If anything, you made that credible, that division, with your reputation and your success. So you helped them become more successful, okay? You fulfilled that. And she was like, well, you know, but she never got over that. She really did not. And she had problems with Sable. Like, she put Sable over and stuff. But she knew what she was doing. And she even said she was evil. She said, Amy, she was so fucking evil. And she had heat with Sonny. And Sonny, you know, like, you know, would swish her ass around and kind of like dog Luna and, you know, make Luna feel like her little house bitch, so to speak, you know. Because she was all, you know, cutie with the boys and cock teasing them and shit. And Luna, you know, Luna said that to me. And I said, well, you're a bigger person for staying there because I'd have to bust that bitch's jaw. Disrespect me. And she goes, oh, I did. And then I got in trouble with Vince because she cried to Vince. And, yeah, you know, I said, she probably was fucking him too. You know, she fucked everybody else. She might as well fuck him. You know, and she kind of like laughed about it. But you could see those kind of things like really, really bothered her because she was brought up right. You know, her stepdad, her dad, he trained her and all, and her aunt wrestled and everything. And so she was brought up by a very honorable and respected family, the Vachons, and she took it to another level, you know. They were very good wrestlers. They were known for being rough individuals and stuff, but she took it another level. She was the extreme. She was the baddest of them all, you know.
Oh, but
I just laughed because as rough and tough as she is, as sweet and darling as she was, you know, and it just... It's sad because I think back at those conversations, and some of them we were laughing. She would tell me war stories, and I would be laughing. Like, she's like, yeah, she says, I'm over in Germany, and I'm walking with Two Cold Scorp, and he's looking for hookers. And I said, it smells like dirty pussy coming up here. And then he tries to hook up with this girl, and I say to him, you know what a fuck her pussy smells. You can smell it down there. The sewer smells better. And he was like, oh, you fucking cock blocked me. She goes, come on, let's go. And they would, like, leave. And, you know, like, you know, the boys treated her like one of the boys. They didn't treat her like a fuck toy. They treated her like one of the men, you know. And that's something, too, that's very hard. Because a lot of times they still keep that fine line, you know. And I laugh and I say to her, I say, Luna, I said, you know, like, people say I, you know, like, I'm like a dude with tits and a clit. I said, that's you. You're like a dude with a tits and a clit. And she just, like, laughed, you know. And she had that laugh. But I remember working out with Heidi and training with Heidi back in the late 90s, early 2000. And I remember Heidi saying that, you know, Luna had a very soft, sweet voice. But because she did that crazy voice, she actually made her voice very raspy. So she,
yeah, messes up
that raspy voice, she used to have a very soft-spoken, sweet, angelic voice, but from doing that crazy voice all the time, she actually gave herself a raspy voice from it.
Let's take a break and get Gangrel and Sir Oliver.
Sounds good to me. Sounds real good to me.
Jackalope 105 FM. It's time to rock your routine. Music that matters, and not the same old talk. It's time for real variety. It's time for Jackalope 105 FM, the real alternative. Rock your routine. Jackalope105FM.com.
We have a real wrestling legend on the show right now. The Grindhouse would like to welcome Sir Oliver Humperdinck, manager extraordinaire, a good friend of the Vachon family and Luna, and seen you many times in Florida, my friend. It was always great.
Well, thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be with you. I just wish it was under different circumstances, but I'm glad to be able to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, I wish it was myself. How did you originally meet Luna?
I've known Luna since she was about 4 years old. As a matter of fact, I knew her dad and her uncle, Butcher and Mad Dog, when they were working here in the AWA. I lived in Minneapolis. In fact, I still live in Minneapolis, and they were... I think Paul came in with Maurice in about 1968, and I was about 18 years old. That's when I first met her. She was just a baby.
Yeah. Then you were working with her with the whole Kevin Sullivan group down in Florida, if I remember right, also.
She was an integral part of all of that down there. In fact, I read a statement from Kevin the other day on the death of Luna, and he gave her full credit for putting the steam on him when he turned heel down there, really solid heel. Angel played a TV reporter that had come to, or a newspaper reporter or something, some kind of reporter.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Studied the Sullivan thing and all that, and Sullivan ended up slapping her on TV and made him a big-time heel in Florida. And from there on, of course, she was one of Kevin's disciples down there. And from there on, man, it was just off to the races. I mean, big money. She was a lovely girl, and, I'm just going to miss her for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I know. I remember Kevin was telling the story on one of the interview tapes about how she was really prompting him to really slug her, and he's like, "Well, I don't know." Yeah,
yeah. She told him to just haul off and whack.
And the
kind of girl she was.
Yeah, and the one that got under her skin was when she finally walked out to the ring and she walked by him and she said under her breath, "Don't be a pussy. I'm a Vashon. I can take it." He's like, "Okay, bang." That was it.
Exactly. You know, we used to pal around back in those days in Florida. And we'd go to a cocktail lounge or a bar after the matches in Tampa, and I had to pull off a couple of guys a couple of times.
Wow.
She was tough.
Sounds like Amy here.
She was rough.
She was a tough gal, but yeah, there's no doubt to that story. It's true. She did say, lay it in, you know, and he did. And she took it, and that was really, that put a lot of heat on Kevin down in Florida.
Oh yeah, everybody turned on him after that, if I remember right.
Yeah,
because we used to get up, because I'm in Jersey. We used to get that on a UHF station on channel 47, like 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night. And I'd be sitting there like trying to fiddle with this because this just beat the shit out of anything McMahon was doing.
I've heard that before. I mean, if you put the tinfoil on the antenna and stood just right,
yeah,
you could pick it up.
Yeah.
Was it a Spanish language station too? Wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of that. You know, it was amazing that our show went all the way up the East Coast like that. You know, back in those days, I'm talking, back in the 80s and that,
I think this was 70s. The 70s, if I remember. Right?
Yeah, yeah, 70s too, yeah.
Yeah.
But when Luna was involved with us down there, it was the 80s,
Yeah, yeah. That was like a whole new world. After, you grew up here on the Vince stuff, then all of a sudden I was getting that. And then with cable and Georgia, I was like, holy shit, great stuff.
A whole new world, yeah.
Yeah. But I remember she was all over. I mean, she was down in Florida. I remember her working. Well, Amy, you would know this. She worked for Ian Rotten a couple shows too.
Yes, she did. Yes,
yeah, with Gang.
She beat Ian up one night. He tried to stiff her on her pay, so she beat him up.
that's
she beat him up with
hell.
A chair. It was great.
She didn't take crap from a lot of people. I'll tell you that.
No,
right now.
She did not. Like, you're right, Sir Oliver.
She was,
you're 1,000%.
I don't want to give the impression that she was just that type of person to be around 24/7. But
no.
If you crossed her,
mm-hmm.
She was going to let you know about it. And like I said, I pulled her off a couple of guys a couple of times. You just
yeah.
didn't do that to her. She stood up for herself, and I admired that about her.
She was always in great shape, too.
Oh, yes. Always, always, always. Growing up in the business like that, you knew what it took. Because she was around it 24/7 when she was a kid, So she knew what she had to do and sacrifice to be in the business, and she did it wholeheartedly. Once she got in, she was 100% in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just a shame, like me and Amy are always talking about this, how women's wrestling right about now with WSU is taking off so well where, with the big leagues, it's nothing but pillow fights and divas. And that's
right,
where
right.
Luna came in the early days of WSU and basically, pretty much made the company.
Right. She was a scrapper, I'm telling you. She could go and did on more than one occasion. No pillow fights with her. It was going to be knuckles and, she stood up for herself.
Sir Oliver,
we were,
I had the honor.
We were in a couple bars, too, and there were guys giving me crap. And she'd walk over and slap the hell out of him. I'm serious about this now, 100%. I mean,
no, I believe you, Sir Oliver.
She stood up for her friends and for the business, 100%.
Yeah, she did. I had the pleasure
back in 2007, they tagged us together and called us Satan Sisters. And she ran two rookies out of the business. They messed up in the ring, and she said, "Stay off my neck, you know. And if you wear them kick pads, I'll never forget. If you wear them kick pads, you better know how to fuck to use them." And they didn't know how to use them, so she kicked them, and she grabbed a frying pan out of one of the fans' hands and cracked the girl right across the face. I mean, she beat them to and chased them back to the locker room. They were petrified. They were climbing out the bathroom window because they were so afraid she was going to kill them. And then the one's father came up to her and says, "What's your problem?" And all, and she went to beat the dad up. It was great.
That was there that night.
Wrong thing to say. It's a tragic loss for the business. And
absolutely.
You know, for me personally, being so close to her and her family for so many years, you know, her personality was that of a sweet, loving, generous, wonderful person, you know. The exterior was a little rough at times, but down deep in the heart and the soul, she was a great, great, great girl.
Yeah, she was. She was awesome.
Yeah.
She definitely was. Yeah, the wrestling business has lost one of the greatest, and it'll never, those shoes, those boots will never get filled again. Never.
Not by anybody that had the grit that Luna had. I feel so bad for her family. You know, I've known the Butch now for, you know, many, many years, and knew her mother as well, Van. And they were the sweetest people, and they always treated me like aces. You know, I was like a member of the family for a while there. And not a lot of people know this, but back then I used to, every Christmas season, I'd play Santa Claus. And I was I was at the largest department store here in Minneapolis. This is just when I was in high school and just out of high school. So it was back in the mid 60s. Uh-huh. And I did all their publicity and newspaper ad work and TV work. It was Dayton's department store in Minneapolis. Mark Dayton is running for governor now here in Minnesota. But anyway, I used to do the Santa Claus gig every winter. And I come by the butcher and Van's house after the kids had gone to bed, you know, and I tiptoe into Trudy's room, and they took pictures, you know, me standing over her. She saw those the next day, and she thought it was the greatest thing.
Oh!
I did that more than 1 year, you know. So,
oh,
I mean, the roots and the relationship I've had with both her and her family go back many, many years. Probably back to the... probably back to, like I said, the mid-60s. She was 48, I guess, when she passed, so that would have been...
Yes.
She would have been born in 63. So she must have been about 5 years old. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a particularly sad time for me.
Yeah.
And then coming on the heels of Ack passing away and Allen.
Yeah, Scandal Ack.
Tony Bourne. It's been a rough month, I'm telling you, you know? I was with Akbar and Ted Allen in Charlotte right before they died. I was with them until I left Sunday, and they both died on the following Thursday.
Wow.
So I had a chance to say goodbye, at least to them, and I would have, you know, I'd give anything to have that chance to say goodbye to her, you know.
Sure, sure. Sir Oliver, out of all the matches that you've seen Luna do, which one sticks out of your mind the most? Out of all the matches you've seen over the years.
Yeah. You know, we also had another girl down there, Winona Littlehart, that played the part of the Lock.
Okay.
And Luna and Lock were the Daughters of Darkness for a long time. And
okay.
They'd have some terrific tag team matches down there in Florida.
Wow.
To pick one out off the top of my head right now, I can't think of one particular one, but I never saw a bad one.
Right,
with her
involved, right. She always gave a 1,000,000,000% in the ring. Always,
absolutely,
always.
Absolutely. And who she was working with, you know, didn't make it look good in that, she'd be hot about it, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just so happy that we were able to think of the good times we had with her and recall her in a great light that we do, and be able to laugh like this because it's healing, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's very healing.
I've been pretty
healing.
Bummed about it.
Sure, sure. I mean, when we talked last week about it, you know, it was just like neither one of us just knew exactly what to say because it was just like, wow.
Yeah, you know, I was just total
shocked. Somebody hit us with a lightning bolt. Yeah, it was just unbelievable. I mean, when I got the phone call, I was like, what? I thought somebody was playing a rib, and yeah, she was very when she was in WSU, she liked what they did because they were doing the more traditional women wrestling and not the diva. And I watched how she just in the locker room like mothered these girls and just helped them look better in the ring and talk to them and embrace them, and I'm like, wow. But well, we very much appreciate you coming on here and sharing some
of it was an honor to have you
your
on
history. And, like, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, like I said, Amy, I love you, and Pete, this is my
first
time
talking
to you. Oh, I love
you, Dad. I have to say this real quick. I met Sir Oliver a few years ago. He was with Akbar, and he was with Gary Hart. And I got to meet them at a convention that I worked for Britain the night before we had wrestled. And I had the honor of meeting him, and I was so excited when I met you because I always watched how you managed and how you did things and cut your promos and your facials and all. And I just thought that was absolutely phenomenal. I got to meet, and I just fell in love with this man, and I stayed in contact with him. And, you know, and it's so funny because every time I have deli, I think of you. Because you love your deli.
Exactly. She was sad enough I was doing the autograph show up there in Jersey. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
When you brought me the sandwich?
I brought you the pastrami. I was like, what do you want? You're in the Jersey area because he loved deli. And he said pastrami. I'm like, okay.
I was kvetching because I couldn't get to a deli myself, you know?
Yeah.
And Amy was kind enough to bring me a pastrami the next day.
And Bastian Booger was sitting with you.
Yeah,
you're eating it and you started choking and we laughed at you. And Bastian was like, you're like, yeah, Sir Oliver freaking dies at a convention and these two guys are watching me laughing at me. And then we had the Philly...
sandwiches.
And I brought you your tasty cakes, and I brought you your soft pretzels, and I was like, yeah,
"That's when I fell in love with you."
I fed the need.
Yes.
And it's funny because Luna was there. Luna and Gangrel were there, and they came over to you, and she just was like, yeah, she came right over. And you know what? I watched her, and she came over, and she was so humble, and she waited patiently, and then she came over, and she was like, Sir Oliver. And she just, like, bear-hugged you, like she engulfed you. And I mean, you could just see the love on her face for you. And it was so funny because afterwards, when I had talked to her, we had done some shows together, you know, she was saying to me how she knew you since she was very young and you were family and you worked with her family. And I mean, she was telling me the whole thing. I was like, wow, now there's some serious history there.
Yeah,
you know,
yes,
I was
indeed.
Like, that's
every
awesome.
Word was true, yeah. We go back a long, long time.
Yeah, she loved you to death. She did.
Well, listen, guys, like I said, it's been a pleasure talking to you, but I wish it was under...
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I wish it was under better circumstances. Term.
Yeah, love to have you back on in the future just to talk about the old days if you're up for it.
Pete,
you know?
Anytime you want to do it, just let me know. You can get a hold of me through Amy, and just set it up, and I'll be happy to do it.
Okay, very cool.
All right. Well,
again, thanks
thank
again
you,
for
Sir
coming
Oliver.
On.
Thank you, Sir Oliver.
Thank you, guys, and God bless
love
my
you.
Friend Luna Vachon.
So absolutely.
Echo those sentiments. Thank you again.
Good night now.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Look, whose guitars are these? Move them around. You had me at hello. Maybe it's the Crown Royal.
Jackalope 105 FM.
We are joined by Missy Sampson, who has been in the business for quite some time as both a wrestler, a referee, and a manager, and actually...
Missy, as you always do, please set the record straight because you're not shy for words.
The one match that Satan Sisters had that I was ringside for, I was actually out there as a special guest enforcer. I was wearing a referee shirt. I was not acting as a manager.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Okay. I smoke a lot of weed, so. Yeah. You know why we're here? We're here to share some memories of Luna. We just had Sir Oliver on, who shared some, you know, really cool, interesting stuff. So,
Now I get to share some cool, interesting stuff. Well, good. I'm just gonna keep the ball rolling with the setting the record straight.
Okay.
Because I know that the MEC put out an article on the DOI about Luna, and there were some things about myself mentioned in there, along with that match that you're talking about where you thought I managed them on. And that's the match where Amy and Luna took on the Diva Killers with Liz Savitz. And while I'm setting the record straight, you know, and I've talked to the Mick since the article went up, me and Mick are fine. Anybody that knows Mick knows that he drinks a lot and his memory tends to get, you know, a little hazy. I did not beat up Liv Savage in that match. I didn't touch anybody in that match, actually. What had happened was, earlier that afternoon, we were doing a double taping. I was supposed to be wrestling both tapings. I had just come back from having broken my ankle. And second match in on the second taping, my ankle was swelling. My foot was swelling into my boot, and I could hardly stand up anymore. So we got Johnny Q in there to ref the rest of the show. And I was sitting in the back row closest to the lobby. We were in Gina Caruso's old building. And Liz Savage was out there managing, and all I saw was Liz Savage jump over the rail and start punching a fan, which anybody in wrestling will tell you is a huge no-no, because that can get you sued, the company sued, the building sued. Like, we could have lost everything. And so I went over there, and, you know, she can call it her lucky day that Bison Bravado got to her before I did. And, you know, when he walked her back into the lobby, and I went back, and I was livid. You know, yes, me and Liz have our own personal history, but whatever. I've never let my personal feelings towards anybody affect business. But I was livid because she literally had just, you know, at the time we were just building WSU, and everybody was busting their humps so hard and working so hard for everything, she literally just could have taken it all from us with one stupid action. So I was yelling at her, and she turned around and said something to me about the fact that the fan threw something on her, threw a cup of water on her or something. And I said to her, I don't care if he threw a cup of cat piss at you. You don't hop the rail and start punching a fan. Well, with that, she decided to, I don't know, get bold and brazen and started yelling back at me, which is a huge no-no. Well, all Amy and Luna were in the locker room. There was just a curtain right there blocking the locker room. Well, Amy heard her yell at me. And the next thing I know, I went at her, and all I saw was somebody grabbed me from the back, and Amy came barreling through the curtain, grabbed her, and threw her in the locker room and told me to go outside and cool off. So I did. Went outside, cooled off for a bit, came back in, walked to the locker room, and Amy and Luna were sitting in the back corner, which is where all our stuff was. Obviously, the three of us were all sitting together. So I go walking back there, and the two of them had these grins on their faces. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm in for it. So I go back there, and, you know, when I came back in, I apologized to Sean the Mech and everybody for yelling. You know, I didn't mean to lose my cool, but like I said, I did it because I was protecting everybody else. And Luna and Amy said to me, they said, you know, Missy, don't worry about it. We got you. And I said, what are you talking about? And I knew they had the match coming up with Steva Killer. They said, we got it, so Liz is managing opposite us. You know, they said, don't worry about it. Let your big sisters take care of it, is the way they put it. Because Amy and Luna have always been like my big sisters. And that's literally how that all started. And then, you know, Luna was like, you have to get out there for this match. And I said, well, I'm a ref here. It's not like I can manage, you know, da, da, da. So that's where we came up with throwing me out there as a special guest enforcer. And, you know, literally, you know, everybody thinks the whole match was a setup to get the Diva Killers beat up, and it really wasn't. It never started out that way. Yes, Liz Savage got put with them so that Liz Savage could get the crap kicked out of her, but it was never meant to go after the Diva Killers. It literally was... You know, and like myself and Amy, who know Luna, were out there. You could see them when the switch got flipped, when she thought she was being shot on. And that's what led to her going after them, but that was never the intention. And there's actually a part towards the end of the match where Luna throws Liz Savage over the guardrail and literally just starts winging metal chairs at her. Well, I found this out later that Liz Savage went to the promoter and actually thought it was me that was doing it. And I said, I didn't touch anybody. I said, you can watch the tape. It was Luna. I said, I didn't touch anybody. So, but, you know, Luna was always, you know, Luna and Amy, the two of them together. Amy's, you know, one of my best friends. We're always just like big sisters to me. You know, and I know that, you know, it's been said that, you know, I act differently when I was around them or acted like a bully because I thought I could get away with it. And I'd have to beg to differ because actually when I was around Luna or Amy, I didn't have to do anything because they literally were like my protective big sisters that if I got upset about something, the two of them are always the first ones to say, don't do anything, don't worry about it, you know, you're our little sister, we'll take care of it.
That's been bouncing around for so long, and there's been, you know, been so many variations on the story.
No, but that's what happened. That's how everything happened.
Yeah, no, I was ringside. I saw Luna throw the chairs at Liz, you know.
Yeah, no, she thought it was me because she didn't see who dumped her over the rail. And then with the barrage of chairs being thrown at her, literally she just hightailed it to the back. She thought it was me. But if you watch the video, I honestly never touched anybody in that match. I wasn't out there to be a part of the match to the point where I was doing anything physical. You know, we literally threw me out there, quote unquote, as a special enforcer, literally just so I could have a ringside seat to watch them beat up Liv Savage.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you want the truth, was the whole reason I was even out there. And then, you know, as it turns out, once Luna snapped and started beating up everybody, as a matter of fact, she bumped the ref. I ended up having to slide in and make the count. But that was only after she literally just lost it in the ring. That wasn't planned either. I wasn't supposed to have to make the count.
That seems to have been the match that basically started to put the company on the map.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah, and literally it came from my two big sisters sticking up for me and doing what the two of them always did, and that was catching my back.
All right, you want me to tell the story?
I'll tell the story.
Okay. I was head of security for Chiller Theater when they were down in, I believe it was Sea Caucus or whatever it was. Anyway, they had brought in Elvira. They never had anybody as big as Elvira before. So I, for some reason, got stuck with that whole detail all weekend. And the problem was she had a legit stalker and she was staying at a different hotel. So you had to sneak her in, sneak her out, this and that. And the other thing. Well, anybody who knows what I do with Saturday night, I usually get shit-faced and obnoxious. So Sunday, it just blows my whole cover, right? So somebody walks up to me Sunday morning and goes, "There's three people waiting for you in the parking lot." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" There's three people. They want to see you in the parking lot. I'm thinking, all right, who did I fuck with last night that's going to kick the shit out of me now? So I walk out. It's Jim Neidhart, Dave Heath, and Luna. So they ask me, you know, can we? Yeah. So they go, "Can you get us in so we can, you know, make some money signing?" And I go, "Yeah, I think so. Let me see what I could do." So I get him a table, and then Luna goes, "Is there any chance of me meeting up with Elvira?" And I'm like, "Let me see what I could do," because the whole situation with the stalker shit and sneaking her in or out and stuff. So it was dicey. So I'm in the elevator, and I said, "Elvira, did you ever hear of Luna Vachon?" And she looks at me with a straight face and goes, "What's a Luna Vachon?" And I said, "Well, she's a lady wrestler." I go, "Trust me, she wants to meet you. You'll love this." She goes, "I don't know." I go, "Look, we've been cool for the last 2 days. Everything's been cool. Just do me this one favor." She goes, "Okay, bring her in." So I bring her in. I wish I had my fucking pictures. I lost them. It was priceless. What a devastating duo. You think the Satan sisters were bad? Put these two together, Elvira and Luna Vachon. I couldn't believe it. And every time I ran into her after that, she was nothing but cool with me. She was just great. So I got nothing but good things and memories about her.
But as for Luna Vachon with this whole memorial thing, everybody pretty much says the same thing. We all know that she could kick ass and didn't give a shit about names in the ring. But outside the ring, you want a more loyal, more sweeter, more fun-going person. She was not boring. She was full of life and energy. As a matter of fact, Missy and I had went up to a convention for WSU a few years back. And we were supposed to go up to New York and do a signing. Well, I partied the night before a little too hard, and I had a hangover severely. And I was puking my guts up that day, so I bailed on it. And she went up there. She actually hung out with Captain Lou Albano and Luna Vachon that night. And Luna's like, "Sit with me, sit with me."
That signing in Albany.
Yeah.
That had, like, everybody at it. Like, I think Ted DiBiase was there. Lou was there. The Samoans were there. Luna was there. Oh, my God. We had the funnest time. We actually, it was an autograph signing, like, in a club. So they sent us out, and we all sign our autographs, sell our pictures or whatever, and then afterwards they were having some weird, like, karaoke something or other, where they actually had the fans. It ended up being, like, the Gong Show with like, the fans. And, like, all the wrestlers were sitting around, and they actually had a table with the gong on it. And they sat me, Luna, and Romeo Roselli. At the table, like, as the official judges. And we were, like, dying. These people were up there trying to sing. Literally, we have microphones, but me and Luna were actually, like, sitting back in our... We didn't want to be too mean to these poor people who were having enough guts to get up and sing. So me and Luna were, like, just sitting back, like, cracking jokes back and forth, like, the whole time. We just sit there for, like, 2 hours. But we had a great time. Yeah.
All right, thanks. Thanks for coming on, Missy.
Thanks for having me.
Love you.
Catch you down the road. Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Jackalope 105 FM.
Hi, Cindy Rogers. It's 42nd Street Pete and Amy Lee.
Hey.
We are now joined by standout wrestler Cindy Rogers, who is one half of the WSU Tag Champs. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Cool. You wrestled Luna a couple times. Maybe you could share a story about that.
Oh, absolutely. The match that I had with her that stands out the most was it was actually a three-way between myself, Mercedes Martinez, and Luna, and we were working for Ted DiBiase, and it was just such a thrill. And thankfully, I had already met Luna a couple of times previous to this, so. I just remember it was such a big show, and she was such a big presence and such a sweet, sweet woman, despite the character that you saw. She just made myself and Mercedes feel just such at home in such a huge locker room. And the match itself, I just remember... And it's actually a funny story. Mercedes Martinez does this submission called a hog tie, which basically wraps you up in your own body. And it's very difficult to get out of. And I remember the way that I was forcibly out of this submission was a swift kick to the ass by Luna. And unfortunately, it was not a side kick to the ass. we'll call it just a field goal punt. And I just remember, you know, afterwards, I teased her, you know, every time I saw her after this, I teased her that I didn't shit right for a week, but which I did, thankfully, but... But it just became an inside joke between the two of us, and I admit I'm just still in complete shock, you know, that she's no longer with us.
Yeah, we all are. That's why we decided to do this, you know, some kind of tribute, you know, let the people know how we feel, and you know that Luna was loved and respected by us all, even outside of wrestling.
Yeah, and I just that same night that we worked that show, there was an autograph session that they did after the show, and just sitting there, you know, with her and just, you know, just talking to this legend, and you know, just, you know, about wrestling and just in general, and just joking around, having a great time. It's just priceless, you know, and absolutely great memories that I will always cherish. And I mean, not just that night, just any of the time that I got to spend with her and talk with her, and just, you know, and in the ring, just to learn from her is just amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing that with us. And we got a couple other people we're going to bring on. And hey, it was great having you, and I definitely want to get you on. Like, I've had Rick Cataldo on, I've had Mercedes on, Amy's always on. I definitely want to get you and Amy on at one point, you know, to shoot the breeze about what's going on in the wrestling world, too. So,
that'll be cheesy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, that'll be great, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, cool. It was our pleasure.
Wonderful, and greatly, greatly missed.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
You're love welcome. You, Chuchi.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Jackalope 105 FM.
We're now joined by Gangrel's tag team partner, Billy Blade from Bloodline. Welcome to the show, Billy. You knew Luna through Dave, I guess, from tagging in and out, you know, when Dave wasn't working for certain people.
Oh yeah, no. You know what? She's like my sister. You know what I mean? It's a pretty hard moment. You know what I mean? I mean, if I cry on the radio, is this radio? I don't remember what this is.
Yeah, it's internet radio. Don't worry, we've all been crying over this. It's a very sad thing.
Yeah, no. You know what? When I'll be honest with you, about a year and a half ago is the last time I seen Luna. We were in Vegas at the Cauliflower Alley Club, and I got into it a little bit with my ex-girlfriend, and Luna came into my room and, you know, consoled me and told me everything's okay. And you know what? I mean, you know, she's the meanest woman in the world. If she doesn't like you, we all know that, right, Amy? And, but when it comes to Luna, she's also the nicest person in the world, you know. She loved everybody, you know. And she loved David. That's the, you know, no one knows David and Luna like I know him. She loves David. Yeah. And if you guys don't know David, they have a weird connection. David actually, you know, when something's wrong with Luna, there's something wrong with David. So, like, David was sick like crazy the night that Luna passed, you know, the day that Luna passed away, you know.
That's very true.
And he knew something was wrong, and sure enough, something was wrong, you know.
That's right, because I tried reaching out to him, and I couldn't reach him. I contacted you.
Yeah, and exactly.
And then you and I spoke, and then we both tried to get a hold of him. He finally called me. He sounded absolutely horrific. I said, what's wrong? He goes, I'm sick. And then that's when I had asked him if he had heard about Luna. And he was like, what? And he goes, Amy Lee, he goes, something's definitely wrong. He's like, because when something happens to her, something happens to me. If something happens to me, something happens to her. He's like, you know, we may not be together, but we love one another, and we are soulmates. He said, we've been together forever. He said, you know, it's just, you know, it's bad for the two of us to live together because we want to fight. He said, but, you know, that doesn't change the fact that we genuinely care for one another. And you're right. You're absolutely right. He was very, very ill that day.
Oh, yeah, no. And you know what? The sad thing is like with me and David, we, you know, we've been around and, you know, we look alike and whatever. But, like, I had to break news about Crispin Wall as well, you know, which kind of sucks because we were on a weekend wrestling show and then I find out about Crispin Wall. And, of course, I had to break the news to him, and he was best friends with Chris. So, you know, it sucks. I love her, and I still love her. And obviously, Amy Lee, me and her love each other. You know, we go way back, and, you know, it just sucks. You know, I mean, my last time with her, I'll tell you a real quick story. I mean, I have a lot of stories, but this story, Cauliflower Alley, me and David teamed up. And Luna was there, and I asked her, hey, would you like to team up? You know, would you like to walk us to the ring? She couldn't say no because, you know, she loves us, you know. And she walks us to the ring, and she left. Usually she'd stay out there, you know, but she left the ring. And after the match, I went back there, and she, I asked her, why'd you leave? And she said, you know why? Because I feel that this is the last time that all of us are going to be together. And, you know, I was like, wow, you know, that's... So, you know, it was kind of a touchy situation, you know, so...
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Some heavy stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It, well, it's funny because when I met, when I had met Billy, Luna and I were doing our... three-time-a-week girly conversations and all, and I said to her one night, I said, hey, I met a friend of yours. Matter of fact, I called her at PWU. You and David were on the show, and I called her,
yeah.
And I said to her, hey, I'm talking to a friend of yours. I said, well, actually, he's like your little brother, you know, in a raspy voice. She goes, hey, the fuck's that? You know, I said, Billy Blade. She goes, I know him. She's like, fucking look out for him, Amy Lee, because if anything happens to him or David, I'm going to kick your ass. Oh, my God, I was like,
yep.
I waited on these two people hand and foot, because in the back of my mind, I'm like, there goes my bad girl image. Luna's going to fuck me up. And I was like,
Yeah, but yeah, not, yeah, exactly. I was well protected, if you want to say that, you know.
Yeah, she was very, very protective of her friends and those she cared for and stuff. And I know, you know, when I got done traveling, I would call her up and I would pick her brain and stuff like that. And she's like, you should have just knocked that fucker. You know, like right away she's like, ah, fuck her. You should have just knocked her out for no salad, you know. Fuck her. You know, but she would get, you know, it's so funny, Billy, because all night long everybody said the same thing. As rough and tough as she was in that ring outside, it was like Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. You know, rough and tough in the ring, sweet and loving outside the ring. Talk about a fucking
yep.
change of personalities. Woo-hoo! You know, but you're right.
Well,
if she likes you, she likes you. What's that?
Yeah, exactly. That's one of those things. If she likes you, then you have a friend for life. But if she
exactly.
doesn't like you, you probably should watch out.
Yeah,
really.
But,
yep.
I really appreciate you coming on here, Billy. And,
yeah, Billy,
and
thanks very much.
You know, telling a couple of stories and all like that. I definitely appreciate it.
You know?
Yeah, sorry, you kind of got me right out of the bar, you know what I mean? So.
Oh, nice, Dave. I mean, really, oh, my God, I'm such a blonde tonight, my nerves. So, but
yeah,
thank
no
you so much.
Cool.
And,
yeah,
you know,
anytime.
Yeah.
You know me. You know me real well. I mean, I'm going to do some kind of tribute show down the line, and, you know, it's going to be pretty awesome. I know Vegas, Amy, if you want to, I can call you later about it, but we are doing a big show at Call for Alley. You know, maybe I'll do some kind of tribute thing that night. Maybe
I'd be honored.
That's the last time I saw her. It was Cauliflower, and we're doing a show, so we might as well make it something big, you know. So.
Fuck yeah.
Cool,
that's
guys. Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah,
you know how it is, Cooch.
No, it's not Cooch. That you just called me a cunt in fucking Hawaiian. It's Chooch, you
Come
fucking
on.
Jackass.
I'm never going to get that right. I think it sounds better to call from the Cooch.
Now, as Luna would say, you fucking Drano drinking douchebag.
I eat light bulbs for breakfast, you know what I mean? So,
you cunt.
I eat light tubes for breakfast. Anyway, you guys take it easy. Good hearing from you, Amelia.
Bye,
love you, and
really
I'll talk to you soon.
See you.
Bye-bye.
That was funny.
Oh, my God. You know, I always fucking Luna could take a negative thing like this and make motherfuckers cut promos and shit.
Yeah.
I bet you she's looking down now, and she's laughing, going, oh, you guys. So let me tell you a real quick Luna story. I hadn't seen Luna, and I'm not exaggerating, in almost 7 years. And I had seen her, and I walked up to her, and I said to her, hey, listen, I said, I want you to meet Big Balls here. You know, my boyfriend. At the time, my husband was my boyfriend. So, you know, she's like, hi, Luna Vachon. And I was like, he wrestled on shows with your dad and stuff. She's like, how old is he? I'm like, he's pretty fucking old, man. He's about 19 years older than me. And she was like, damn. I said, sugar daddies. Well, she started fucking laughing, her and Gangrel and all. And we were talking about Murdoch and stuff, just reminiscing about the old timers that, you know, we knew and stuff like that. And I said to her, hey, my old man read this article about you. You were in a tough woman contest down there in Florida, one of the bars. She's like, yeah. She goes, that was a quick payday. She goes, they're a bunch of pussies. And I said, yeah, well, I heard you got kicked out of it because you picked the girl up and fucking body slammed her through the table. She goes, oh, well, you know, I saw an opportunity and I just did it. And she's all like shy about it. And I'm looking at Gangrel and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? She's like, oh, you know, like all shy, like, oh, stop, you're embarrassing me. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, you. I was like, stop, you're fucking ribbing me on this. But she did. She literally was doing tough women contests. And she got so pissed at the girl because she hit like a pussy, she said, that she picked her up and slammed her through the fucking table and then dropped an elbow right across her throat. It was great. Well, I think it was great, Pete, what you did. I think it was very honorable. I like to think in my own mind that, you know, Luna would appreciate it. It was nice to hear, you know, Cindy speak and Missy and Billy. And so if you think about it, she was one of a kind. All right. I'll see you later, Todd the Bod.
Don't, jeez. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Now you got a gimmick name. Todd the Bod with the big old long sturdy rod.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Stroking his ego.
Think of me. All right, guys. Have a good one. Love you.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Well, I want to thank my co-host, Amy Lee, for navigating me through this whole thing. And I'd like to thank everybody who came on to share their memories of late, great Luna Vachon. Until next week, this is 42nd Street Pete saying stay sick.
42nd Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Oh, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demons. in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to die.
Come on, here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here, too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything, it isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit. People. People